Guidance is internal. Ignition sequence starts. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Permission to board.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission to board.
Permission to bring me aboard.
Permission to come aboard.
Welcome to the Permission Granted Podcast. Here's DA.
Welcome inside the Permission Granted Podcast, everybody. Thanks for being with us. DA with you, of course. And you can always get us a multitude of ways. This is the show within the show. We peel back the curtain on the Permission Granted Podcast. And so you can grab this on our iTunes feed. Just search The DA Show CBS Sports. On Facebook, facebook.com/The DA Show in video form. You can check it out on our YouTube page as well, youtube.com/The DA Show. And on our audio page, DA on CBS.com. Click on the audio tab. Coming up, Mraz has bowed out of the Side B today. Yeah, bad news. So Joe D is going to talk to one James Ward. I'm also going to see if I can rope Mraz into discussing why he is bailing out of this one. But coming up here next, David Hunt, the president of Hunt Auctions. And they've got a big event coming up, Super Bowl week, as they are auctioning off a ton of incredible NFL items from the NFL experience in the Moscone Center in San Francisco, where we will be for Radio Row. David, how are you?
Great to be there.
Appreciate you dropping on by. I know your history in sports memorabilia goes way back to your teenage years, like 14 years old collecting baseball cards. Is this back during the glory years of the 80s?
It is. I'm dating myself a little bit, but it's certainly changed and evolved a bit. You know, we certainly were not affiliated with any leagues or players or anything of that nature back then, but it's amazing to see the staying power of this memorabilia. And really the memories that it represents is why I have always believed, you know, that people go after these things and acquire them in the way that they do.
There's a couple of kind of notable cards out there for people of a certain generation. The 89 Upper Deck Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card is one of those. You know where you were when you got your first. What was the card that meant the most to you when you first started collecting?
You know, I don't know that it was one specific card, but it was sort of this, you know, new mentality that, and even though I was very, very young, I mean, you could realize that these things and objects and cards were not just something to have fun and collect, but actually something that you could do all those things and by the way, make money off of them. And it was hard to actually believe at the time, but then as it grew and evolved, you know, especially as I got older, it made a lot of sense. To think, you know, during all sorts of times in American history over the last 100 or so years, you know, war, economic downturns, what have you, sports, right or wrong, quite frankly, always sort of transcends it. You know, people are always looking to sports as a diversion, always looking to that as something that they count on in their lives. And the memories, the cards, the memorabilia that relate to these sporting events, players and teams, you know, really evoke those same feelings, and I always felt that that's why the business would be such a long-standing business, and it has, luckily, for everybody involved.
So, in the 80s, it's baseball cards that everybody's going gaga over, and then football cards are in the mix there as well, basketball and hockey cards, but trading cards was the big thing. And then, how has that evolved to now, where it feels like baseball cards and the card industry has taken a back seat to actual kind of like game-worn memorabilia and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think it's an evolution. I think that's probably the precise term I would use. Baseball cards, football cards, sporting cards in general are still the hallmark of this. That's what's collected. That's what's written about and talked about. However, the unique nature of game-used objects, of historic pieces, things that you could not have predicted would be worth anything. They weren't made to be worth anything, but ended up being worth something. Those are the things that really have sort of shifted gears, and I would say probably have taken over in popularity in certain dollar value categories because, again, you couldn't predict it. If you were at a no-hit game, you didn't know you were going to be at one until that night. If it rained and most people left and you kept your ticket and program in a plastic sheath and nobody else did, you know, there you have it. Whereas cards really were manufactured, you know, as mass-produced pieces, and it would be an error, an issue here or there, but basically not unique in and of themselves. So, yeah, I do think you're right that memorabilia, especially game used by the league, such as NFL auction programs that we're working with here, for authenticity and people bringing themselves as close to the game as possible, that's what really drives that market.
Give me a little history lesson here. I would imagine back in the 1950s, say, there isn't a market for having to have Willie Mays's game used glove. But at some point in time, that kind of turns and people are excited about getting the spikes or the bat or the glove or the football. When does that kind of tipping point happen?
I'd say, as far as, you're absolutely right, people collected. There's documentation and obviously collectors that in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, 70s collected these things. They did acquire pieces from a Willie Mays or, you know, a player, a football player back then, but they weren't done because they were aspiring to sell them or they had any monetary value. It was just because they love sports and they wanted to collect these things. And they, you know, probably like any other collector, they get one piece from Johnny Unitas and boy, I'd rather get another one from, you know, Lenny Moore. Oh yeah. And then let me get one from another Baltimore Colt player. So I think it evolved during that 40s to 70s era. That's sort of the evidence that we see in historic letters that have been found and, you know, famous collections that were assembled. And then really in the 80s and 90s, it sort of, you know, the seeds were planted. The card market exploded, but really around, you know, mid-90s into the 2000s is where the memorabilia side just absolutely took off. I mean, it's outperformed just about every major market financially as far as returns. You know, some categories increasing by thousands of multiples over what it was worth. So, and I think there's a ceiling there, too. I think there's a ceiling we haven't even scratched yet. Given the different types of pieces that are discovered still and the research being done, and as, you know, popularity and things like social media and the league programs expand, the awareness of these items, it really tends to expand the volume and the dollar value as well.
How about also the expansion of the quote-unquote man cave? Now that that's become such a thing, does that provide kind of, everybody has their own little museum that they want to show off with their flat screen and their mini bar, whatnot. Has that led to the explosion?
No question. No question. It's also led to the explosion of wives trying to consign the items after they take them out of the man cave. But all kidding aside, yeah, I mean, it really has. I mean, entertainment systems, the popularity of all the different programming and television options that people have, and cable and online mediums, it becomes overwhelming at sometimes, but probably like other businesses that it's related to. But yeah, there's no question, just general awareness, general ability for people to watch their players and teams. I mean, that sounds like a little factor, but in our world, you can have one of the stations or online streaming services that wasn't available years ago that now somebody in the middle of the country can watch a New York Giants game. So maybe, for whatever reason, they become a New York Giants fan. They start collecting New York Giants items, even though never been to New York, possibly. Never even, you know, seen a game in the stadium. But with all these different ways that they can access and view these teams and sports, it's changing our world, too, that, you know, we sort of have to keep up with it as well. You see that with the online baseball cards and online sports gaming as well, and interactive elements. Does that relate to a Babe Ruth ball? No, not necessarily, but it does relate in a very general and broad sense to popularity and the draw itself of the medium.
So you guys at Hunt Auctions hold a number of world record prices across a ton of different sports memorabilia. What's some of the more notable items that have gone for record prices that you guys have had?
Gosh, we've done it now for 24 years, and we've been absolutely fortunate to work with some of the greatest names in sports and also some of the greatest items that they happen to have. So it can range from, you know, one time we had at Major League Baseball's All-Star Game auction, which we conduct annually, we had the ball that Babe Ruth hit for a home run in the 1933 All-Star Game, which was the first All-Star Game and the first home run in the history of the All-Star Game. So we knew it would do very well, and that was in 2006, so we're talking 10 years ago at this point. The estimate was 100 to 200,000. It brought almost 900,000. So that clearly exceeded those estimates and expectations. Probably most notably were two collections that included some significant world record pricing, where we were very, very blessed and honored to handle Joe DiMaggio's things for his family and Ted Williams' things for their family, and held the live auctions respectively in Times Square. and also at Fenway Park for the two great iconic players. And there were just a number of phenomenal prices and pieces, as you can imagine, from icons like that. So, you know, again, having worked with so many different players, Johnny Unitas, his family, Roy Campanella, Whitey Ford, Thurman Munson, that could go on. You know, we've been really very, very fortunate to have been associated with so many great players, and obviously also doing the auctions for Major League Baseball at the All-Star Game and also the NFL with NFL Auction Partnership at the Super Bowl. It's been a lot of fun, a lot of fun, and we'd like to think that we've advanced the market and also maybe most importantly done it in a very appropriate, professional, ethical way to make sure folks are getting the authentic pieces they want, guaranteeing them as such, and making sure that as best we can, we're going to give them a product that's going to increase in value as well.
How about also, I mean, just coming across those personal family collections that you mentioned, do you guys, do you guys kind of go, maybe, you know, kind of feel like Indiana Jones almost? When you just get like a family collection and you get to go through Ted Williams' family collection, is it kind of mind-blowing?
It is. It's overwhelming if you let yourself, you know, sort of be engrossed in the moment. It can be very overwhelming, and we don't do that. You know, you try to stay grounded and treat it like anything else. However, we do that in reverse. We treat everybody's items like they're a significant family or a significant player's family, and thusly we'll have the same process and same protocols in place that allow you to do the things that we do at the level that we do them. But yeah, no question. Yeah, I remember very well, you know, many, many stories. We were in Ted Williams, you know, home, literally looking through things and finding incredible pieces, discovering them with the family at the same time. You know, Joe DiMaggio's things, one of the most famous stories I recounted from that when we did it in the time was we were sorting through his belongings, obviously in a confidential way, and many, many things we don't sell. Frankly, that's just as important. Things we don't sell that are not appropriate to sell, they're sentimental or otherwise, and we return them to the family and we advise them what not to sell. Just because it's worth money doesn't mean you should sell it. But at one point we were, you know, obviously Joe was famously married to Marilyn Monroe. And we literally discovered several handwritten letters from Marilyn to Joe that had never been out there publicly. And, you know, it was a sensitive topic. I mean, first of all, it was chilling for me to see these. I was probably the second person to read them other than Joe DiMaggio, quite frankly, as private as he was. So we take that very seriously, and we had to have some long discussions with the family, discuss, is this the right thing to do? Is it the right thing to sell it, no matter what it's worth? And ultimately, we actually sold them, and they decided to sell them, because they were very positive letters. They showed how much Marilyn did actually love Joe and what their relationship was. That was never out there publicly before. So, and we unveiled them on a major national, you know, morning news program, and it was, you know, very exciting discovery. And they ended up selling for tens of thousands of dollars, but it really wasn't so much about the money. It was putting those facts out there that sort of dispelled some myths that, you know, they really didn't care about each other the way it was portrayed, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so when we get to see those pieces of history literally in our hands and get to experience them, handle them, and share them with the public, that's sort of a win across the board. You know, and when we, anytime we can involve a charitable entity, in that case it was the Joe DiMaggio Hospital. In this case, for the Super Bowl this year, it'll be NFL Auction Charities. We're thrilled to do some good as well.
So you guys will be at the Moscone Center, which we will be at for Radio Row on the week of the Super Bowl, because you guys have Super Bowl 50's live auction going on down there, the NFL Experience as well. So I guess we will see you guys down there. That should be a lot of fun. You guys got some cool pieces?
Yeah, I mean, this is our 8th year doing it with NFL Auction Partnership. It's grown into an amazing event this year with it being the 50th Super Bowl. We wanted to really do it big, and frankly, it'll be quite possibly the largest single football specific related auctions ever occurred. I mean, having Tony Dorsett's things, Gale Sayers things, items directly from NFL auction, including game worn jerseys from Peyton Manning, you know, Drew Brees, J.J. Watt, all the great NFL players. And the nicest thing about this sale is the NFL auction items, the proceeds go directly to NFL auction charities, and even a portion of the proceeds of the other vintage items like the Tony Dorsett, a portion of those proceeds will go to NFL charities as well. So it should be an amazing event. We're really looking forward to it.
There is also information on that at huntauctions.com and nfl.com/Super Bowl/NFL Experience. David Hunt is the president of Hunt Auctions, and he joins us here on the show. David, man, appreciate you taking out some time. Thanks so much, and good luck with everything. I'm glad we could connect with you guys.
Thank you. We'll see you out there.
All right.